doing well today. Look at somebody and give them a wave and a smile and a good warm smile, not the my coffee hadn't kicked in yet smile. If you are part of our online audience, we welcome you today as well. Be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. And we want to welcome each and every person today to Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. And we trust that the Lord's going to speak to your heart today as we worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful that you have allowed us the privilege to be able to come together, Lord, to gather around your word. And Lord, we're grateful that your word gives us a promise that it does not return void. So today, Lord, if we come seeking a blessing from you and we come seeking a word from you, then we know without any shadow of a doubt we will find it. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us as we've gathered this morning to be able to clear our hearts and minds of any distractions that may hinder us from hearing what the Holy Spirit would say to us today. And Lord, may we be cognizant to what the Spirit is asking us to do, and not only cognizant, Lord, but that we might surrender to what your will for our lives would be, each and every one of us on an individual basis. So today, Lord, as we come to you, help us in all that we do to prepare our hearts for worship. Lord, in a moment, we're going to be lifting up our voice in song. May it truly come from our hearts and not just from our lips. May we concentrate on the words that we're lifting in your presence, and may they truly be a praise offering from us to you on this very day. So, Lord, bless each and everything that we do. May it honor and glorify you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, again, we're in that time of the year where we are collecting for Operation Christmas Child. I know you've probably seen some of the boxes that have been either out in the narthex or over in the other building. That's the shoebox ministry that's done by Samaritan's Purse each and every year. And you guys do such a great job in using that as a ministry tool. Like we've always said, that box is just a tool by which to be able to share the gospel message with a child or with that child's family. In places where there will be children that won't even be getting a Christmas present this year. They don't even know what that is. They've never seen that before. And yet somebody comes and tells them how much they love them, but more than that, how much Jesus loves them, and have those opportunities to be able to share the gospel message. And you have each and every year had the opportunity to see some of the impact that has. That's the reason why we like to kind of show you some of the videos of hearts and lives that have been touched along the way. I do want to mention that we here are going to be doing our in-gathering at Central Baptist Church on November the 10th and November the 17th. So that's the 10th of next month and the 17th. And some people would sit back and say, well, what's an in-gathering? That's when we ask you to bring your boxes back that you have packed, and we bring them down and we present them at the altar. We give you that moment to pray over that box and that family that will be receiving it, or that child that will be receiving that box, that the Lord's will would be done, that they would hear that gospel message, that they would be receptive to it. So those are the dates for Central Baptist Collection, for us to be able to bring our boxes in. And then also what we're doing is we are a regional collection center, and there are several dates starting on the 18th of November and going forward through to like the 25th. So if you would like to help out, what we do at that particular point is we will take those boxes and then we repackage them into larger boxes and then send them off to the next drop station for them to be able to go to the Charlotte area. I think that's where they actually do the sorting. A lot of you have actually been to that sorting facility and had a part in that, so that's where they will be going. So that's a lot of stuff that we've got going on in regard to Operation Christmas Child. So be mindful of those things. Check your bulletin. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us. There are boxes in the narthex. If they're not there, you can pick some up over at the main office. So as always, we want to kind of keep you abreast of what's taking place with Operation Christmas Child, give you some opportunities to see some of the testimonies and some of the folks that have worked along the way. And today's no different than the other days. We have another video that we would like to show you that's in reference to Operation Christmas Child. Travis, go ahead and run that.
Finally.
Peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet. Now let's pack those Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes.
If you're like me, it can be difficult to know where to start. To make things easier, just start with a box. Any average-sized cardboard or plastic box will work, but I find a shoebox works best. After that, you'll need to decide what age group you're going to pack for, and if it's for a boy or a girl.
Now let's fill that shoebox. It's best to start by selecting a wow item, something like a soccer ball and a pump, or a stuffed animal, something really special. Yes and yes.
Once you've got your wow item, you can start to fill it with other fun stuff like toys, clothes, sandals, or even school supplies.
What do you mean, however?
However, there are some things you don't want to include. Things like gum, toothpaste, items related to war, liquids. But for a complete list, check out the website.
Oh boy, I think they're gonna like this.
While a shoebox might seem small and simple, it can mean the world to a child who may have never received a gift.
It shows God's love in a tangible way to children in need, and together with the local church worldwide, shares the good news of Jesus Christ. This is why you will also want to personalize your shoebox.
Even including a letter or a photo of your family or yourself can make it extra special to the child.
The most powerful thing you can do is pray. Pray that your gift will make an impact.
That both the child and the community will discover the love and name of Jesus.
When your box is finished, you can make your $10 donation online or by mailing in your contribution using the business reply envelope in the brochure. This donation is critical for training and equipping local churches to share the gospel, along with the collection, processing, and shipping of the shoebox gifts.
And don't forget to activate a label so you can follow your box and discover its final destination.
Finally, make sure to check the website for the closest drop-off location near you.
And make sure to mark the date for the third week in November as National Collection Week.
Well, there you go. You just packed yourself a shoebox. Grandma.
Already done.
What? How? I thought she wasn't going to stores right now.
She isn't. She packed her box online.
That's right, Dad. With just a few clicks of a mouse, Grandma packed her whole shoebox online. She can choose from all kinds of gifts, even make it personal by adding a letter and a photo.
Wow, so she doesn't even need to leave the house.
Nope, she can stay safe inside and still have time for Doomcraft.
Docking complete.
Number 47, Trust and Obey.
Thank you.
Join me now as we enter this time of worship, thinking of the sermon and getting into the Lord's presence in our lives. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Today in your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 is where we will be in God's Word today. You know, I think that when it comes to the topic that we're looking at today out of God's Word, we have all been there. We are all, or some of us are there right now, and if not, you will be there in the future. And what I'm talking about is when you're cruising along in life, and then all of a sudden, through circumstances, situations, whatever the case may be, generally you go to God in prayer. Often this is one of those things that's done personally and privately within your prayer closet. And everything just seems to weigh you down. And here's what happens. All of a sudden you go to God and you simply say, God, I don't understand. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've been there before. It's like, why are these things happening? Why is this going on? Why are the circumstances as such that they are? What is going on? And then what we usually do is we go back and we begin to evaluate to see if it's something maybe we have done. Have you ever done that before? You're like, Lord, I haven't done wrong. It generally doesn't sound like that. It generally sounds more like this. Lord, I've been doing a good job. I've been keeping up with my devotions. My prayer life has been good. And it seems like the closer we get, all of a sudden, all these things begin to fall apart. Why is that, Lord? Lord, I just don't understand. Well, let me tell you today that there are some mysteries of God. There are some mysteries of the Father. But there is a very simple answer to this. And at the end, I'll mention it along the way, but at the end, I'm going to mention it one more time in a way that's a little bit more understanding to each and every one of us. But our scripture text today is Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to look specifically at verses 8 and 9. I'll throw a few other ones in there. But Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, help us, Lord, to keep this passage within our hearts and before our minds as we go forward. Lord, help us to always understand that you are God and there is none like you. You are omniscient, you're omnipotent. And Lord, you're omnipresent. I pray, Father, that we would keep these things in mind, as particularly as we go through the circumstances and situations of life. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to keep in mind that we are your children, and what you have in store for us is what's best. Lord, sometimes it doesn't seem that way, and Lord, there are going to be things we don't understand while we're here
on this earth. But I pray that you will help us to claim the promises of your word, not only today, but each and every day and through each and every circumstance, that we might truly honor, glorify, and magnify you. Lord, I pray for these next few moments that you would use me as your mouthpiece. I pray that you would truly be the one that is high and lifted up. And Lord, I pray you'll draw all men unto you. And we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I read that verse, sometimes it's like I look at it as a correction, because that's the way it's usually been to me. You know, when I've gone to the Lord and I've said, Lord, I don't get it, man. I don't understand. I don't know why things are happening the way they are. I don't understand why the circumstances are as such that they are. And when you look at that verse, it's God's answer right there. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, the way God thinks is not the way that you and I think. That has been proven to me 100% of the time in all of my life, that every time I think I have a good way of doing something, it's usually wrong. And when I say it's usually wrong, it's because when I try to do things my way, God says, I don't want you to do things your way, I want you to do things my way. And I would never in a million years come up with the plan that God comes up with. And let me tell you why that is. And let me tell you why we have so much problem with that in our society today, is because God's plan usually defies all logic, doesn't it? You know, when you sit back, you sit back and say, well, I never would have conjured up a plan like that. It's like, no, because most of the time it's not in the realm of possibility for us to be able to do that. God has to step in. I pray that each and every one of you know and understand and have experienced that those times in your life when there was absolutely no answer whatsoever and God showed up. And you sit back and you kind of look over your shoulder at what God did through those circumstances and situations, and you said, I never would have come up with that. It is not logical. There's no way possible. And yet God did something incredible. You see, the more we trust him and the more we begin to, we don't have to understand his will. And I know that's contrary to what logical thinking in our society is today. You don't have to have all of the answers to all the questions. All God says is, I want you to follow me. Isn't that what he says? He's always said that. What was it that God told Abraham? He told Abraham, he said, I want you to go. And what did Abraham say? Abraham said, go where? What'd God say to him? I'll show you. In other words, he didn't hand him a road map. He said, I want you to trust me one step at a time. I want you to trust me every step of the process for me to get you where I want you to be. We like detail, don't we? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm that way. I kind of like detail. If somebody says, well, I want you to go somewhere, my first question is usually, well, where you want me to go? Yeah, because then my mind's sitting there going, once I know where I'm supposed to be going, then I'm going to figure out a way to get there. Yeah, whether it's GPS or the good old map or whatever it may be, I'm going to try to start figuring out a way to get there. And you know, the tough part is, it's like, well, Roy, I want you to go somewhere. Cool, where are we going? Well, I'll tell you. I'll show you. Well, how are we going to get there? Don't worry about that. How many of y'all, something like that bothers? I mean, you just have a really hard time. That's just your personality, and that's okay. Yeah. How many of you are usually like go with the flow kind of people? You're not going to die of a stress heart attack. You know, you're like, okay, well, whatever happens. We're going to float through on this thing. You know, the people who stress out are the ones that have everything in the car that they would need to survive if you were stranded out somewhere. And you're easygoing freelance people, a little bit like me, or the type that don't have anything. You're hoping that you know, some grandma's got a Pop-Tart in her purse, and you run into her along the way, so you'll have something to eat as you go. But the scripture, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. See, we have to observe how God's thoughts and ways are distinct from our own human understanding. And essentially, this points back to the sovereignty of God, which you know how we've defined that. He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, to whomever he wants, and he can be justified in doing so. But we need to recognize that God's wisdom surpasses our wisdom. which means that there's going to come times when we cannot fully comprehend his actions or his decisions. I can't remember who it was, but years ago I heard somebody say it's kind of like watching an ant crawl on the ground. And we've all done that at times in our lives, maybe when we were younger or maybe when we're adults. And if you're like most people in North Carolina, you have little sugar ants in the summertime and you'll watch them crawl across your countertop. But nonetheless, you know, the guy was talking about how he was outside and he watched this ant that was kind of crawling through the grass. And I mean, he was making his way over all these obstacles and everything else. But he noticed that probably about 3 more feet in front of the ant was a wall that had a foundation in it. And he knew that that ant wasn't going to get any further in that direction because that wall was going to be there. And the interesting part about it was the ant didn't really know that because it hadn't gotten to that particular place in its journey yet. And the man was sitting there and he thought about the fact, he said, here's this ant struggling and crawling through, you know, the grass and making its efforts to get so far down the road, only to be coming to a roadblock, only to have to be diverted from the direction that it's going, and it doesn't even know that it's coming. Well, you know what? I kind of liken that particular story to the way things work with us and with God. Yet God is watching everything that's going on. It is planned. And he sees us as that ant making that journey along the way. And he knows what obstacles are ahead of us. He knows what pitfalls come before us. Yet there are times in life where God has changed the direction of us ants. Yeah, I don't know, have you ever done that before where you put your foot down, all of a sudden you created a barrier sooner than what was coming up, and the bug or whatever either had to climb your shoe or it had to go around it. Most often they go around it, you know. So all of a sudden you just increased their journey, but you're trying to put them on a different direction. Now, something different about ants. They'll go around your shoe and come right back to where they were on that same path and keep on trucking. But yet we've got to understand, we got to recognize that God's wisdom is different than ours. It is far better. It is far greater. And we need to embrace the peace that comes from trusting God's perfect wisdom. That's not always easy for us to do, because what happens is when God puts us on a path, when we're going down the path and we don't know, we don't understand, all of a sudden we begin to fret. We begin to worry. You know what that word is? Worry. Yeah, and people sit back all the time, and we'll even say that, well, I'm just kind of worried about this. Well, that's a sin, according to the Word of God. And then what we try to do is we sugarcoat it. And Joanne is in heaven right now. I don't know if she's able to hear this particular message, but Joanne would always say, well, preacher, I'm worried about this. I said, well, did you just confessed a sin, Joanne. You need to repent from it. She'd say, well, let me rephrase that. I'm concerned. See, we like to sugarcoat terms, and we like to sugarcoat words to make them sound so much better, you know, and almost acceptable. It's all right if we're concerned as long as we don't worry. Yeah, but yet those are two of the same kind, as it were. Particularly it was with her. Now, obviously, we would kind of laugh with each other, and then we would go forward, which was a blessing. But we need to embrace the peace that comes from trusting in God's perfect wisdom, even when the circumstances, even when the situations of our life are confusing and challenging. Would you agree that those are two words that can often describe your spiritual journey? Confusing and challenging. And I know if you're like I am, there, you have prayed many, many prayers in your lifetime where you've sat back and said, Lord, listen, I want to follow your will. You know my heart. You know that I want to do that. But how about, could you type it out for me, you know, in a Word file using Times New Roman 12-point font? Could you highlight the really critical areas? Could you make it up in an outline? See, that's what we want God to do, don't we? Now, I want to ask you this question. Why is it that you think God doesn't do that? And you see, often we sit back and we'll get upset with God. Well, Lord, how come this is happening? Why is this going on? You know what the deal is. You know my heart. Yes, he knows all that. So why is it that you think God doesn't hand you the full-blown plan from A to Z? Well, let me give you a hint. The reason why he doesn't do that is because he wants us to trust him and count on him on a daily, daily basis. He wants for us to trust him for each and every move that we make. He wants us to seek him daily. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this or had this done to you where somebody will say, well, where is this? And they'll just look at you and say, well, I'll show you where it is. And you're like, well, just tell me. I can go find it myself. And they're like, no, I'll show you. It's hard to find. You know, sometimes that happens because those people just want to spend some time with you. And that's the way that they can have to be able to spend some time with you, because they know if you tell them, you're just going to go running off and find whatever and then move right on. You know, I believe with all my heart that God wants us to interact with him so much each and every day that he is even willing to allow us to have obstacles along the path so that we will continually count and trust in him. I believe that. You know, and somebody said before, well, can you explain that in a way a country boy can understand it? I said, yeah, I can do that. And I said, yeah, have you ever thought about the fact that often what happens is, you know, when everything in our life seems to be going good, all of a sudden God starts to slip from the priority. God starts to start moving to the back of the line. He starts to begin to take a back seat. But yet the first time there's a hint of trouble along the way, who's the first person we call on? Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. Oh, Lord, help me out. Yeah, I believe God loves us so much that if the only way we're going to stay in contact with him is through trials and tribulations, then he's going to keep us in trials and tribulations because he wants to hear from us. He loves us. I believe that with all of my heart. But what can we at times embrace the peace that comes from trusting God and from trusting his wisdom, even when our circumstances seem so confusing and so challenging? It's another thing that we can learn from the Word. We can learn that trusting, we got to learn to trust God amidst the uncertainty, okay? When things are awry and we don't know what the answer is, I love this verse. This is one of my favorite Bible verses. I guess you could call it one of my favorite all-time verses. And most of us know it. Some of you, it may even be your life's verse. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not into your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many of y'all have heard that before? Maybe 1,000 times. And yet, we know the concept. We know the principle. But there's another verse I want to add. See, a lot of times we know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But I always like to add verse 7 in there. Because you know what verse 7 says? Verse 7 says this. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Did you get that? Be not wise in your own eyes. Now note, in those particular passages that we just mentioned in Proverbs, there is a call to fully trust in God rather than relying on our own varied and limited knowledge. The bottom line is that our thinking is finite. That's a 50-cent word. I can use that, you know. In other words, it's limited. But the thing about it is, God's is infinite. We can't think like him. We don't understand, you know, his mind. We can't think in that way. But see, we need to understand that submitting to God involves a daily choice to rely on his guidance rather than our own logic and our own emotions. And you see here, there's where the problem often comes in. That's what we rely on. We rely on our own logic and our own emotions. How I feel. This is how this situation makes me feel. Or this is the logical situation from it. Now, I'm not saying that logic is necessarily a bad thing, but I am going to tell you that it's not always God's thing, because God defies logic. You ever experienced that? This is yes, this is no. Have you ever experienced something that God has done in your life or around you that completely defied all logic? I mean, let me give you an example. Most of us know the story of Gideon and his army, right? If you remember, God said, Gideon, you know, the thing about it is there's too many people in your army. Okay, logic defier number one. When you are fighting a foe, superior numbers is always better. Amen? So God comes up and tells Gideon, yeah, you got too many people. What? No, that's the way this rolls, God. As crazy as that sounds, that's what we do. And then God said, go ask that number of them. Ask how many of them are scared. Gideon gets them together. How many of y'all are scared to go into this battle? All those that raised their hand, God said, tell them it and go on home. Big chunk of them left. Gideon at this point is probably going, ooh, this just made our cause a little bit tougher. And then God says, there's still too many. What? More than half of them just left. What do you mean there's still too many? And remember what he did? He told them to go down there and based on how they drank at the brook, you'll keep these. How many did Gideon's army get whittled down to? 300 men. You can fit 300 people in this sanctuary, and you're going to go into battle against numerous odds. Now tell me that does not defy logic. Tell me what it must have been like to have been one of those 300 people. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I mean, were all Gideon's men so godly that they said, let's do this, boss. God said, let's get her done. Or were some of them sitting there going, oh man, we're going to get murdered because we are outnumbered. There are superior forces. We can't do this. Now let me take you back to the beginning of that story. God told Gideon why he was getting ready to do what he was getting ready to do. Remember that? God told Gideon that the reason he was cutting down his army was so that God Almighty could be the one to get the credit and the glory for the victory that was about to happen. He said, if you had all those soldiers, then people would just say you're a good general. But he said, the bottom line is when you look at 300 men taking on superior forces, that's impossible, and a God thing has to happen. Sometimes God has to put us in a position for a God thing to happen when there's no other way humanly possible that we could pull it off. That's a scary place to be, isn't it? I believe that God is still calling Gideon's army. I believe that God is still asking 300 to go against superior odds, trusting him for full and total victory. Now, I'm not saying that it's not a little bit scary, because it is. But remember, what were we talking about? That we need to understand that submitting to God involves a daily, not a weekly, not a bi-monthly, a daily choice to rely on his guidance rather than our own logic or emotions. Emotions will get you in trouble, won't they? You ever snapped on somebody, then had to go back and apologize? No, none of y'all ever have, I'm sure. Yeah, they pushed that last button, and all of a sudden you just went off, and then you realize later that you shouldn't have done it. You were carried away by your emotions. Emotions can get you in trouble, and emotions can be extremely deceiving. So we have to cultivate a habit. Did you get that? And I'm going to use that word. Some people don't like it to use that word in a spiritual context. I don't mind it. We need to cultivate a habit of prayer. We need to cultivate a habit of scripture reading to align our hearts with God's will and strengthen our trust as he gives us direction. You know what? Having a prayer habit's not a bad thing. As long as it's not vain repetition or lip service. That's what I want us to catch ourselves on. You see, sometimes we get formalistic in our prayers. Sometimes when we get formalistic in our prayers, those are the times when we say the blessing at lunch, and then when we're halfway through, we sit back and say, did we say the blessing? That's because it really didn't mean a whole lot to you at that particular point. You ask a hungry man who hadn't eaten in 7 days to return thanks, his prayer sounds a whole lot different than ours when we're going to leave here in just a little bit, right? Yeah. It's funny, Blake's deployed in the mountains right now. He's working midnight shift, sectioning off a road. And we packed him everything. I've deployed to disasters. Jimmy knows what it's like. And we were throwing stuff in there. You know, there's a cooler, there's lunch meat, there's bread, there's all kinds of things. And I know at one point, I'm sure he was probably thinking, I don't need all this stuff. Well, when he got there, they had no place to stay, no restaurants open, no nothing. It was day two before they finally served them a meal, and they got one meal a day. But you know what? He could open up that cooler in the back and get him a sandwich out of it, and he could get him some drinks out of there, and he had some snacks along the way. And the thing about it is, you've got to be, you know, prepared. You got to trust what's going on. You know what? He might not have wanted to take all that stuff, but I guarantee you that by the time he gets back, he's going to be glad that Mama packed the Yeti, because he had a chance to eat. Cultivate a habit of prayer. Cultivate that habit of Scripture. You can't just have a spiritual meal once a week and survive. Some people, the only spiritual nourishment they're getting is on Sunday morning at church and Sunday school or in their small group. You've got to get in the Word yourself every single day. You've got to be on your face before God every single day. You have to learn what it means to pray without ceasing. Are we doing that? Or is church and God just something that we do on Sunday? Or is it somebody that we become? You see, if God's going to lead you and direct you, you have to hear from Him. I love what one of my Bible professors taught so poignantly one time when he said this. He said, prayer is a two-way street. He said, we often go and we request things before God. He said, that's perfectly fine. There is not a problem with requesting things from God. But he said, but the problem is, and he said, most of you preacher boys won't shut up long enough to hear God talk. You ask God to lead you and direct you, but He can't get a word in edgewise. Now, He'll speak to you if you listen. And how do you listen? You will listen to Him through circumstances. You will listen to Him through His Word. You will listen to Him as the Holy Spirit guides and directs you. He was a smart fellow. C. Sumner Wimp was his name. And every time he would address the preacher boys, he started off with, well, glory. He's in heaven now. But we've got to cultivate this habit. If you really want to know what God's will is, and if you really want to be able to trust Him out of the gate, you're going to have to get to know Him. There are people that would come to me and they'd say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust me. And I would go with them and I would trust them. You know why? Because I know them and I know their motives. There are some people who would come up to me and say, hey, I want you to come here and do this. I'd be like, ain't no way. No. I don't trust you. This might be a setup. Listen, God's not trying to set you up. If anything, He's trying to protect you along the way. And see, when we do this, when we cultivate that kind of relationship with God, we will find peace in God's plan. There is no greater place to be in your life than at peace with God. The world around you could be in total chaos, but if you are at peace with God, everything is okay. I promise you that. So what other point do we want to see out of our scriptures today? We want to see that finding peace in God's plan, it comes from a particular passage as well that encourages us, and it's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And most of us have heard this before. This is nothing new, but it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, we need our hearts and minds guarded, don't we? Man, I tell you, the devil is beating on you. The devil is beating on each and every one of us. And today, I want you to understand something. If you don't think so, I want you to have a wake-up call today for the fact that there is spiritual battle that is taking place in and around your life. Satan is trying to destroy you. He is a liar. He is a thief. And he is after each and every one of you. And you may say, well, I'm not really significant. Yes, you are. You are significant enough that he comes after you. He is trying to bring you down. All the while, God is trying to sustain you as long as you will trust him. In those verses we just read, observe the promise of peace through prayer and gratitude, even when answers or understanding are lacking. You see, do you notice what I said? I said there's a promise of peace. We understand what peace is, and we like that. But it's through prayer, and it's also through something else. What did I say it was through? Through prayer and gratitude. Notice what the verse said. Well, through prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving. How thankful are we? I know that you are like I am. You are willing to do for people. All you really want them to be is thankful for what you've done. And you've been around some little brats in your life that were not grateful for what you've done for them. You know, you did something and you were looking out for them and they were unappreciative and you're like, well, see if I ever do that again. But yet, you've also been around those who have been very grateful and very thankful to you, and you can't wait to help them out again some way along the way, right? Think about that for a minute. What is it that the Lord says in that verse? Be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry. Yeah, there's that word. Don't be concerned for those Joannes out here. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer, there it is, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when you do so, that verse says, and the peace of God, which is what we all want. We all seek that. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And buddy, let me tell you, in this day and age, we need our hearts guarded tremendously. Think about the promise of peace through prayer and through gratitude. I've always liked this. I said one of my favorite old hymns. Every time I look at this particular passage of Scripture, it reminds me of the old hymn that we've sang many, many days in the past, Count Your Blessings. Y'all remember that? And it's really just kind of, it's a story. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When we get into those certain circumstances where we feel downtrodden, we feel anxious, we feel worried, why don't you start counting blessings? And I guarantee you it'll change your heart. You start looking at when you think God is not there, when you think God is not answering, start to count your blessings, and it will surprise you along the way. You know, I've said before that when we go out, like when Jimmy and I go out, yeah, we actually have a pretty good deal. We get to sleep in a truck on a mattress. There's a lot of people sleeping around on the floor. Ain't no phone service, no Wi-Fi, no video games. You're eating styrofoam surprise, but then you go out and you see somebody who don't have anything. They don't have nothing. They don't even have a can of Beanie Weenies to their name. They've got no clothes. They've got no bed to lay on. Folks, let me tell you this. It gives a whole new resonance to what the term we say around here when I say this. God is good. And all the time, God is good. We have been blessed with so much. We need to interpret the peace of God. We're talking about that in these passages. And that's that supernatural, I'll have to insert that word, supernatural calm that comes from faith and trust in Christ. And it transcends all human logic. I like to use that term, and I've used it for years and years, the peace that passes all understanding. That's a biblical term. And you know what that means? That means that God gives you a peace that you can't even describe to somebody else. You don't know how to describe it. It's like, how do you describe it? You can't. So I want you to think about this as we wind things down today. While life's challenges can lead to moments of doubt and of confusion, we need to remember the sovereignty of God's ways. We need to remember the assurance in trusting Him, and we need to remember the peace that He offers to each and every one of us. And may we embrace the mystery of God's plan with faith, with surrender, and allowing His peace to guard our lives. And we can carry this understanding into our daily walk. That's what we need to do. We've got to apply it. We need to carry it into our daily walk, allowing His peace to guard our life, continually seeking His wisdom and comfort, especially when we say, God, I don't understand. Remember what we talked about at the start of this? What are we going through when we say those words? God, I don't understand. I think we've got to get to the point where we just basically say, Lord, I don't have to understand, but I'm going to trust You. I think it's all right to say, Lord, I don't like where I am. Job did that, didn't he? Lord, I'm not digging where I am. God says, all right, learn what needs to be learned. Or this is a passage to get you where you're supposed to be. Whatever the case may be, God's got big plans. Can we trust Him? Can we just sit back and say, yeah, here's the deal. The more you do that, the easier it gets. I would also like to think that there were some of Gideon's 300 that said, would you let everybody go home for? And Gideon said, well, God sent them home. God said He's going to take care of us, and it's all's going to be good. And I'd like to think some of them were like, oh, okay. If God said it, that's cool. Let's ride into battle. I'm invincible till God's done with me. And you just got to remember that. And you know what? When that happens, it should provide the peace that truly passes all understanding in our hearts and in our lives. And may we not be stressed out and on medications because we're worrying about what the future has to hold, because we know the One who holds the future in His hand. And that means us. And oh, last time I checked, Brad, you guys come on up. Last time I checked, the same One who holds the future in His hand, guess what? You ready for this? He knows me by name. He calls me by my name. And if you know Him, He calls you by name as well. He understands what the concerns of your heart are. And when you sit back and say, I ain't worried about it, Lord. You got this. Handle it. Now, that doesn't mean be stupid. There's a difference. That means follow Him. That means trust Him. And look for His plan throughout the circumstances and throughout the situation. Question, big question. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Are you one of His children? Does He know you by name? If not, then you know what? You are outside of the wall of protection. You're not one of His children. I often like to refer to that, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Did you notice that? Even in the title, the rich man and Lazarus. Well, why didn't He call the rich man by his name? Why didn't He call him Cecil or Fred or whatever his name was? Why is it not Lazarus and you know, Ben? Let me tell you why. The reason He didn't say that was because He didn't know the rich man, and the rich man didn't know Him. But He called Lazarus by name because He knew him. Does He call you by name? Have you given your life to Christ? If not, I'm just simply asking you to stop whatever you're doing, because this is the most important decision that you will ever make, and simply bow your head, cry out to the Father, and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live for You in Jesus' name. Now listen, if you trusted Jesus, you need to let us know, because we need to celebrate together. That's what it's now. And by the way, that's not the end of it. I mean, yeah, when you trusted Christ, if you did that just now, you are saved. But yet, it's about following Him. Jesus in your heart changes you. Maybe you're here today and you have been bumping up against life, or life has been smacking you down. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Seems like I've heard that somewhere today. isn't it? Trust and obey. That's pretty much the theme of what our message for today was. Trust and obey. Can you do that? Listen, if you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it is here. We still believe in an old-fashioned altar call. But you do business with God at whatever He's led you to do. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 277. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and you seek the Lord. Don't leave this place with the conviction on your heart of what God has called you to do. You take care of it right now. I'm also going to ask that our ushers make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, today we thank You once again for the blessings that You bestow upon each and every one of us. And Lord, as we continue our worship at the time that we give back to You that which You have asked us to be faithful to return to You, may we truly be found faithful in being obedient to Your word and to Your will. We thank You for the provision. And Lord, we don't understand how You do it. It's just like we've talked about in Your word today. Your ways are not our ways. Our thinking is not Yours. But You can always make whatever we have go further when it's given to You. So, Lord, may You bless the offering, bless the gift and the giver, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Let me let you know what we got going on, and we'll try to get you breezing along here. Birthdays we got coming up this week. Actually, today is Bill Monroe's birthday, so if you think about it and get a chance, you might want to give old Bill a call, wish him a happy birthday. This coming Wednesday, Brad will be celebrating another turn around the sun, so be sure to harass him a little bit along the way, and like we say before, as always, we take checks and credit cards and whatever else along the way. This coming Thursday is our Chad and Chase Harrell will be celebrating birthdays coming up this Thursday. This Friday, Donnie Chilton will be celebrating a birthday, and Saturday, Jacob Twitty. So we got a lot of birthdays that are coming up this particular week as we close out essentially October and start to head into November. Let me tell you about what we got going on for today. My D group is actually going to be meeting at 3:30 in our normal spot. Choir practice is at 4:30 today. And then Awana, it will be at its regular time. It's 5:30, but we're doing 5:30 to 6 o'clock, and then Trunk or Treat will start at 6 o'clock. If you can come and provide a trunk for the little kids to get treats out of, that would be great. We're not having adult Bible study this evening. Is that correct, David?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, no adult Bible study this evening, so you can help us out with Awana. Don't just sit back and say, oh, well, since we don't have Bible study, I'm just going to skip and stay home. Come on, man. Help out the kids. Let us know you're coming. If you're going to be doing a trunk, be here at 5:30. And we'll get set up out there because the kids are going to come in, do their verses that they normally do, and then they will go out to be a part of Trunk or Treat. All right, Steve, don't forget we got Steve's D group is tomorrow at 6:30, men's breakfast every Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the Colfax Olympic Restaurant. And make a note of this, because if not, you're going to be sorry next week, and I'm going to tell you why. Because that's when we change the time, is next Sunday. That is daylight savings time. We'll make that change. You fall back. So what that means is if you mess up, you're going to be at church early. Now, if you are at church early, I want you to know we have surveillance. If you come early and leave, I'm coming after you. If you don't come back, you can go get a biscuit, but you better be back here because I'm going to know who comes and goes. And Don Anderson said he was going to be my wingman on that, would take you out. So make sure you set your clocks right. We look forward to being here. I know that's always a mess. I will actually be out of town this coming weekend doing a wedding. The wedding is not until later on in the day on Saturday, so I won't make it back. You'll have a special guest speaker this Sunday. Do not skip out on him. This is a young man who is a layman out of First Baptist Summerfield, recommended by Dennis Nunn. Dennis was going to be with us, but he had something come up to where he was not able to. So come and support this young fella as he presents the Word of God to you. We would love for you to do that. I told him, I said, we just kind of old-fashioned. He said, so am I. So maybe you got you another young, old soul along the way. So come and support him. Dennis highly recommends him. In fact, I think he does some stuff with Dennis's ministry group. So be sure to set your clocks back next week. Ladies Connections monthly meeting, that is going to be on November the 6th at 6 o'clock p.m. in our FLC 116 next door. And then the ladies monthly breakfast is on the 13th of November at Cagney's at 9 a.m. Then Operation Christmas Child, we have plenty of slots where you could help out with the regional packing and whatnot. If you would like to help out with that, you can see Jana. She'll get you squared away. There are certain times when the people from the area will be bringing their boxes by, and then we will repack those to go to the next station. So see Jana if you'd like to help out on that. I think that's going to be like the 18th of November through the 25th, and there are going to be certain time slots where people can come by. Also coming up on the 3rd of November is our bi-monthly blood drive, so we'll look forward to seeing you at that. That's 2:30 to 6:30. And then our 2025 Cuba mission trip is February the 28th through March the 7th. So I do want to mention this. We got to have all our stuff in for our 2025 mission trip by probably the second week in November. So we have four that are essentially signed up to go, but you need to, if you are part of that, you need to get on the website, the state convention website, fill out the information there. And we will work on getting you money, but we've got to have passports. We've got to have all that turned in by about the second week of November.
We're on the 12th, not the
3rd. Do what?
I think that's
The blood drive?
Did it say the 12th? No.
Third?
Yeah, not on the third, we're on the
12th. On the 12th?
Yeah.
Well, I was just seeing if you were paying attention.
On the third Sunday.
Well, hey, we'll give blood. You know, just take blood from them on Sunday. Okay, the blood drive is actually on the 12th. Just get Dina to look at her app. She always has the first site, the 12th. Okay. So that is going to be November the 12th, not November the 3rd. Okay. Vote. You vote on the 3rd, come on the 12th. You can vote on the 3rd. It's early voting. Okay, let me just fit it like this. Y'all vote. There's early voting that is going on, and people are always saying this. People are always hammering preachers on both sides of the situation, particularly the political agenda. All I'm saying is this. Exercise your privilege and your freedom to go vote. That's number one. Number two, we should be, as God's people, living a biblical lifestyle. In living a biblical lifestyle, I'm not sitting there endorsing any candidates, but what I am saying is this, vote biblical principles. That's what I'm telling you. And you know what? There's no problem with that. If you do that, God knows what's going to take place, but we need to show up and we need to exercise our rights, our freedoms. Vote biblical principles. That's all I'm saying, okay? And be sure to exercise that right. There's early voting all over the place right now. Make sure you get out to the polls. The actual election day is November the 5th. And the blood drive is actually going to be on November the 12th. So at any rate, listen, we love you guys. I know there's another announcement. Carol has an announcement. And then I'm going to have David come on up. And David will see us off in a word of prayer after Carol's announcement.
In case I fall out.
We're backing you up. We got you sick.
So most of you probably know October is designated Pastor Appreciation Week, but that was my hallmark. We all know Pastor Appreciation is every day, every week, all year long, and we really appreciate these guys. Pastor Roy, I don't know if I can read it, but we appreciate how you love people, how you are committed to missions. Anybody that's talked to him more than 5 minutes knows he loves people. He loves all people, not just some. He's committed to missions through, you know, going to Cuba every year and helping with the disaster relief. And probably the most important thing is that he follows God's command to preach the word without compromise. He doesn't talk to just tickle our ears. He speaks the truth in love. We appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
And Pastor David, we know you also love people. You're also committed to missions. You know, every year you went to Wyoming and you led up that gang and you help with Camp Carefree. And we appreciate how you really love the seniors here. You're on top of it. You feed us good. And
we're going to do that Tuesday, by the way, 4 o'clock.
And you teach us the Bible, you study the Bible and teach us great Bible lessons, and we just appreciate you.
Okay, thank you.
And Brad, we appreciate how you rebuilt our music ministry from nothing. I mean, he came at a time when COVID had just passed and we had no choir. We just had, I think he pulled up two or three of us to lead and sing in some hymns. And then, you know, he's built it up from that to our choir that we have today. And we appreciate how you're thoughtful about the music that you pick to put us in worship mode on Sunday. So
thank you.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate
you.
Thank you.
And I have a little something. We have a little something for each of them. So.
Mix that up with somebody else.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And one more thing, there's a card station out in the narthex that has thank you cards and pens, and there's a place to deposit cards. Take a card and let your pastors know how you appreciate them and how you feel about, you know, what they've done in your life, and just let them know that you care. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve, and we do love each and every one of you in your own special way, and we thank you so much. Just, you know, for today, thanks is plenty, but thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Again, I just want to say, as David comes up to dismiss us in a word of prayer, you know, keep praying. Remember, we got a lot of folks to pray for. We got Roger. We got Joanne's recovering from surgery. Mari's recovering from surgery. Rick, who had a big-time surgery, is back with us today for the first time since that surgery, buddy. It's so good to see you walk in the door. We want to keep Debbie in our prayers. Debbie hasn't heard anything yet on what the process will be, but you keep Jim, Debbie, and all of them in your prayers. Listen, Satan's attacking hard, but he's not going to win, because thanks be to God, he's got a future for us. Brother David, if you'll see us off in prayer.
Okay. And remind you that seniors, and if you are tempted to say, I'm not that old, 50 years old and older will get you here. So
I'm a senior.
Yeah.
Almost a decade into a senior.
We're doing dinner here free Tuesday night or Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. You'll be able to get back home before it gets dark. Come and eat with us. All I ask is that you sign up on the sheet out there so I know how much food to fix. Okay, and we'll look forward to you. Weatherman has already said it's going to be 70 degrees Tuesday. It's going to be nice. So please come and eat with us. And Katie, I was just thinking, Red Cross has missed it. The ideal time for a blood drive in October is Halloween Day. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we just thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the privilege we have of being here as part of the family of God. For us as staff, Lord, I thank you that you led us here and you've given us the opportunity to serve here, and we thank you and praise you for that. Lord, we just thank you for the family of God here at Central Baptist Church. God, I pray that you'll bless us as we go from this place today. Help us to be a witness for you and take a stand on biblical principles. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.